as you're giving, and it is a very hard topic in our church, in our personal relationship with other people. Financial giving is the uncomfortable topic people do not usually volunteer themselves to talk about. How many of you really, really love to talk about finance? Oh my God, dog, I better to put you into the finance committee right there. And then one of the hard things the nomination committee in the church is doing is nominating people for the finance group. It is the toughest group. Everybody knows how to balance the checkbooks and how to make it an algebra, basic algebra, right? 1 + 1 is? Then either you are qualified to become a finance chairperson or the finance members. But somehow the finance and giving itself is so fearful for many of us. And whatever we may think about the money or how we give and how to save, and then it is simply the biblical truth when it comes to the money, that it is how much we earn or how much we give may or may not be a personal matter. But it is without question that always a spiritual matter. The Bible says more about money than it does about prayer. As one person figured out, there are 532 verses in the Bible as a whole about praying. And there are 1,539 verses about money and giving. If you are curious about the accuracy of this number, read the Bible and count the words, whether blessings, or giving, or praying. And I have not follow up on this statistic I got, but truly it's saying that Bible says more about money than prayer or any other topics. There is no doubt that money and giving are deeply spiritual matters here. When we learn about Bible and start to read the Bible, we start from the Genesis chapter 1. It tells about the money and God's ownership. God is the owner and a landlord of everything. All we have and own is a gift from God. We are the managers, the stewards of what He has given us. We are called to productively and joyfully acquire, use, give, and share with others the very best of our time, abilities, and protections in the service of God's kingdom. We are managers of God's resource. We have no choice in that matter. We can only choose what kind of managers we are going to be, faithful or faithless. So today, let's focus on this spiritual question. What does it mean to be faithful manager of God's resource when it comes to giving? As we already said, that the Bible says a lot about money and giving. It's the one area of life about which Jesus had more to say than anything else. It was also a subject the Apostle Paul repeatedly raised in the churches. In fact, he devoted two chapters, the chapter 8 and chapter 9 of a book of second letters to the Corinthians, to this matter. Giving has always been a major subject for discussion or invasions in most congregations. In Corinth, it was no different. In Schaumburg, here, it is no different. In Corinth, however, Paul raises the subject for the specific reason. The church in Jerusalem, the mother church of Corinth and all other churches God planted through Paul's ministry, was in financial need. Not because they mismanaged the resources what they have. This church has been in such need already for a long time because all people in the church were suffered in financial poverty. So Paul has suggested this wonderful idea. Wouldn't it be great for children to help others out by taking up a collection? How many of you not think of your parents when they are struggling with something? I know many of you, especially several of you, I know the story. They go extra miles for their parents to support financially, not just emotionally and physically, but financially. They trim down their expenses to support their parents, elderly parents. Respecting elders, it is a must. It is not an option. Sometimes in our culture, we say that serving elder or respecting elder is an option. But believe it or not, all of us are aging. All of us are getting older, one by one, day by day. So respecting elder is a given, and it is a must. Going back to the finance talk in here, if we now think of the Methodist term about the finance giving in Corinthians church situation, a stewardship committee had been appointed to look into the matter of the finance and get it done. But if the committee had not met this goal whatsoever because of so many problems and so many excuses they given to the church. The whole thing had been forgotten, what commitments they do have. So Paul sent this friend, Titus, to them with this second letter in part of the purpose of getting them to complete this collection by reminding them. In our business, in our times, and in daily activities, sometimes it is very necessary for us to get some reminder called. Now is the time for you to get some reminders that church needs your help. It is a reminder that God needs your hands and feet. And then when we read the book of Corinthians, and it is obvious that the energy and the excitement for the collection had faded away for a long time for many reasons. That the church in Corinth, they had so many issues. They neglect by these problems that they are dealing with. And they are forgotten the main duties and the commitments they made. They needed to be motivated once again. So in order to renew their original commitments and encourage them to finish what they had promised, Paul gave them two examples of grace in giving. First, look what has happened in other churches, he said, especially in Macedonia churches, Philippi and Thessalonica. These churches are suffering even now because they are proclaiming and following Jesus as a Lord. And a lot of their members have taken severe financial blow because of their faith. Some people lost job because of the faith. And yet they have given eagerly and generously for this collection. And if that is not enough to get you fired up, and do not even forget about the example of Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake, became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich, so that we might enjoy all the riches of God's grace, forgiveness, and salvation, and eternal life. It is in this context that God teaches us about giving. But notice that the biggest things we learn about it, that our money, the way we give, is a deeply spiritual matter. It comes down to the one word that lies at the core of the Christian faith, grace. Repeat after me, grace. Finance giving or management of the grace God given to us is based on grace. Grace-driven life is a Christian life. Biblically, giving is connected to grace. Giving is a sign that you get it, that you understand grace, and that you truly believe what God has done for you and for others in Jesus Christ. Grace is God's attitude of undeserved favor towards a sinner. It also means God's unearned mercy powerfully working within us. The Greek word for grace, whether God's grace towards us or our grace expressed in our giving for the need for others, is one and the same. It's the word charis. And that is the same word from which we get another important New Testament word. The word for spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is a charisma. 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 And from that word, we also get an English word, charismatic. These days, we use this charismatic, the word, its term is many different ways. But original root of the charismatic, the word is grace. In other words, Paul teaches us that we give in response to grace. And giving is a spiritual gift, and where members of congregation express the grace of God shown to them by giving graciously to others, and there you see a church that can fully be called a charismatic church, not the Holy Spirit, the kind of church we are not talking about. Original term is graceful church is a charismatic church. Faithful management of God's resource then is a part of the relationship created by grace. It is not governed by rules, but by grace. By our relationship to God in Christ Jesus. How much we earn and how much we give then are deeply spiritual matters. The act of sharing and giving is a reflection of our spiritual maturity. Giving at this core is more than helping and serving others. Giving at its core is worship, a part of our thanksgiving and praise to God. So here is a question we now need to ask. How can we worship God? How do we reflect spiritual maturity when it comes to giving? And then Paul gives us at least four basic principles to guide us in gracious giving. First, a faithful manager of God's resources gives cheerfully. Most of us know that it feels like to give, how we feel like to give reluctantly or regretfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. Not tearful giver, but cheerful giver. Literally, that means hilarious. Whenever I look at Dan Geyer, I always laugh. And he always gives me such joy no one cannot give somehow. I think that he is a walking Christ for me in this church. He always makes me laugh and smile. And well, even though just simple terms he said, he cracked me up. And as you and I experienced, when he shared the finance giving message, I even laugh at that. I mean, not laugh at the message, but he gave me such a joy. That is a sign that the person is full of grace. God's people are people who laugh and dance and give in gratitude for grace. Those joyful people are the grace-filled people. And those people are the givers. A faithful manager of God's resources, said St. Paul, are also given generously. Out of the most severe trials, he reminds the church in Corinth, the overflowing joy of the Macedonian churches and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Throughout the Bible, we hear the same message. Freely you have received, Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Freely give. A faithful manager of God's resources, say Paul, gives sacrificially also. For I testify, he writes about the Macedonians, that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their availability. It doesn't matter how much it is, because for each person that would be different. But it does matter that it should cost us something. After all, if God's giving cost him even the life of his only begotten son, how could our giving ever be cheap? That doesn't make any sense. Finally, says the Paul, a faithful manager of God's resources gives selflessly. That is to say, we give all because we have first given ourselves to the Lord. Listen to Paul's description of the generosity of the Macedonians. They urgently pleased with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. Here, Paul reminds us that we cannot buy God off. We cannot buy God's favor, even with all the money in the world. He points to the secret of giving, that we give ourselves first to the Lord. Faithful management of God's resources is a relationship grounded in our union with Christ Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ, writes Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What a wonderful relationship. Perfect love with imperfect gratitude. But gratitude and giving even so. All because of love that never fails. God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Cheerfully, generously, sacrificially, and selflessly. That's how God calls us to exercise the grace of giving. Such giving is the mark of our spiritual maturity. Such giving is the evidence of our faithfulness as managers of God's resources. But more than that, such giving takes us to the heart of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So maybe what we make and what we give is personal or private. Maybe it is not everyone's or anyone's business, but it is always and above all God's business. So may our earning and giving earn glory for and give glory to our God and Savior. Let his grace be with us and his grace flow from us in our giving life. Amen.